All right. Well, it's another great day today. Kaylee got no sleep last night, so I will see how this alive and awake I can make this, because you know I stayed up to about 1 o'clock with her, you know, just making sure she was doing good, and then I was like, okay, changing of the guards, and then oddly she didn't sleep at all. So It was kind of an interesting deal. But speaking of that, my topic today is about fathers. I know that's kind of weird, I guess, in a way, because I'm not that experienced, and nor am I claiming to be such. But claiming to know God, the Father, is a little bit easier for me, because obviously most of us have been here and around God enough to understand who He is. At least I hope so. And so, remembering growing up with my dad, hearing all the time that I was born the spitting image of him. In fact, most people would say that I look more closer to him than my uncle, who's an identical twin. My mom would say that's not true. I have a scar from here to here. And I said, yeah, that came from Justin. No, that's not. Justin would always argue, well, it had to come from you. But anyways, but we pretty much look exactly the same. In fact, this might shock you a little bit, but when I was younger, pretty young, I would go up to strange people, usually guys, and would ask them if they were my dad. What makes this worse is that my mom was with me, and she was very embarrassed. And even worse than that, sometimes, even at Madison, when I grew up there, my dad would be right behind us. And so he was like, seriously, I'm right here. You know, it's like, it was very confusing. And honestly, I have no idea why. Maybe, possibly, I watched a show that was a popular saying. I have no idea. There's just some things you can't explain about me. I don't know if I was dropped on my head when I was a kid or what's going on with that. But that was something I used to say. But regardless, I've been told that I've had his type of humor. I have his type of jokes. Mom always says I don't know my own strength like my dad. I even sound like him most of the time when I speak. And then he always likes to chime in, and you get my good looks. that's debatable. Anyways, but some of my memories growing up with him is really mostly by the campfire. We used to go camping so much. It didn't matter where we were at, we would always go camping. We started off in a tent, and I think we made it to a pop-up. And then we went to a very small motorhome, and then finally we got a very big motorhome. We ended up doing it so much that that's what we ended up spending a lot of money on. But campfires was the big time. Not only just for the fun of burning stuff, which I happen to be a pyro. I really enjoy just burning whatever I can inside a fire and see what happens. In fact, if anybody gets really bored at night, if you want to get those clear water jugs and melt it onto a stick, okay, you got to melt it first, then catch it on fire. Don't swing it around because that's hot plastic. That's crazy. But just let it drip off that stick, and it makes this blue liquid, and it goes, bzz, bzz. It's really cool. In fact, most people, when they would drive, walk by the campsite, they would actually stop and watch it because it was so interesting. I learned that because I burnt stuff. And it was probably not good for your, you know, kids at any age, probably, because it's plastic you're smelling. But it looks cool. But anyway, some of the times that we would do some of the coolest things around the campfire, one of the things I would remember is spiritual talks. Oddly, you would think that, you know, we would be on camping, so we'd be doing all these other things, but that was our time also to just kind of sing around campfires. I mean, it didn't matter where we went. We even had friends that would come with us, and we'd just go around. It didn't matter what day it was, and we'd just be singing around the campfire. But later on, when it got darker, my dad and me are kind of night owls in some regards, unless he's working, then he's not. But We would talk about all kinds of different things. I remember him saying, you know, don't take his word on anything that he says, and count him as a liar, but to look it up in the Bible, for that is the truth. And so, you know, a lot of that stuck with me. A lot of it, you know, when you hear even me talking about things, you know, I want you to check it for yourself. Don't just assume that I am telling you the truth, because I'm not the one that's able to get you into heaven, you know. You're the one that has to do that work through Christ. But he would tell me, you know, also, he said, you know, growing up for him was a little rough. He said, you know, the word love maybe was not always used. And so he wanted to make sure that we heard it every day. So at any given point, he would always stop and look at us in the eye and say, I love you. He wanted to make sure that that was something that we heard every day. He also was the one that I had to convince that I wanted to be a Christian. I remember going up to him and saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm ready. Let's do this thing." And he says, "I don't think so fast." He said, let's go over a couple things. Let's read through the scriptures. Let's make sure you know what you're getting into before you just do it." Eventually, he was the one that baptized me. And I honestly thought he was trying to drown me. He told me he just wanted to make sure that I was fully under. I still debate that because I felt like I was in there so long. And I actually touched, my whole body touched the bottom of the pool from where he had me down. So I don't know. I just felt like I was down there for quite some time. But having said all this, it reminds me of John chapter 8, 25 through 29. And it says, "They said to him, 'Who are you?' And Jesus said to him, 'Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say to you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from him, and that they do not understand what he was speaking to him was about the Father.' And so Jesus said to him, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father had taught me. And he has sent me... And he who sent me is with me, and he has never left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.'" And also a little later on, John chapter 14, 8 through 11, it says, "Philip said to him," he said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I not been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has also seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What words can I say to you that I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves." Have you ever noticed have you ever known someone so long that you can finish their thoughts, maybe their sentences? I once heard sandwiches. I thought that was kind of interesting to think about, but I guess when you get to a certain stage, you know, like I know Meredith, you know, she probably doesn't eat as much as me by any means, and so like I get excited when we go to places that have a little bit more food because I know she's not going to finish it, and I know that I can, which maybe is not a good bragging point, but I get excited about that, you know. So like finishing each other's sandwiches, that's fantastic for me. But isn't it awesome that when you've been around somebody so long, that you can know what they're about to say? Anyways, besides the point, do we know the Heavenly Father that close? You know, are we willing to know His word and will? Because Christ was. Obviously, He says that, you know, He was with the Father and the Father was with Him. And if we claim this Christianity, then we should know Him. You know, I go to think about when life comes to us really quick. You know, I know Brandon did a sermon once, or Frosty for those, you know, I don't want to get confused, but he did one that, he talked about life is like a vapor, and he actually had a spray bottle and just shot it up and you could see it for a second and then it just dissipated. If life is truly that fast, you know, to know somebody that intimately, we need to make sure that we are in His Word daily. We need to make sure that we're at least getting a verse a day. I know I said this to the boys on Wednesday night. I said, you know, a verse a day keeps the devil away. And yes, I did steal that from the apple keeps the doctor away, but, you know, it works the same. If we can keep at least learning a verse, a lot of us have, you know, technology now that we can understand. Papa, I know, still struggles with it. But we can get a verse on our phone to just come up. If you have the U version, they always have a daily verse that you can go and read. And it's just a verse. It doesn't have to be a chapter. And if we can just learn just another little part of who God is, then we're learning something that's life-changing, that's a wonderful experience that eventually will help us live with Him eternally. Christ prays right before His ascension. He says, He asks that the people be one as He and the Father are one. And our Father is one of balance. Compassion, loving, and He's holy. He's a balanced as a dad is to His children, like the ones in Ephesians chapter 6, 4, and Colossians 3:21, where they're not overbearing, but they seek the moments to bring them up in discipline and instructions of the Lord. They also happen to be compassionate, like I said, and like a compassionate dad, which a lot of people, I guess, would think that they're more firm, more into the role of just, you know, of all, I guess, all the discipline itself. In my mind, that's how it was, mostly because my mom, when she tried to spank me, I'd look back at her and ask her if she was joking, which I realized I made a mistake. I should have just acted like it hurt, and I would have been okay, but I was too honest, I guess. And so then dad got home and finished it. So for me, it was always the dad that did all that. But the fathers can also be compassionate. And when I'm thinking about that, it's like in Luke 15:18 through 24, which is the one we all should probably know as the prodigal son. You know, he was looking afar, and he didn't know which day he was going to come back, but he was looking. And I can just imagine, you know, him seeing from a very far distance, and just the idea that that could be him got him excited. Because when the son finally did come, he ran out there, and he's, you know, he didn't really care what he had to say. He was just glad that he came back. That he said, you know, you were lost, now you're found. Let's go, you know, throw a party. And it's just an amazing experience, that compassion that he had. And you can also look at Psalms 103:13, and it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so does the Lord show compassion on those that fear him. I also said that the fathers are loving. And it sounds kind of opposite of what the world says today. You know, most of the times, you know, you have fathers that abandon their children, that they just leave. Sometimes they're just so grudgingly towards the children, they don't want to have anything to do with them. They just expect the mother to raise them. There's just a lot of things that are opposite of what that says. But in Proverbs 13:24, it says, whoever spares the rod hates his children, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, trust me, when I was growing up, this one I did not like. I didn't like it at all, because that meant that my dad had a perfect opportunity to say, listen, it's in the Bible, I'm supposed to do this, and I can tell you, I was like, no, Dad, please don't. you know, I'm sure most of everybody has tried to do, like, stuff some socks in the back, and that doesn't ever work, you know. But discipline in itself is a thing that I believe that the world is losing. A lot of people just want to be their friends and instead of their role model. You know, I think that being at a school, I see it a lot. The parents will call and get their kids out of school because they have a test. It's not because they're sick. And there's always the same ones. You know, if it was everyone, that would be one thing. But I'm sure any of the other teachers can agree with this. It's just, they call them up and they're like, hey, yeah, little Johnny's sick, and then they're standing right there in front of you. They look healthy as, you know, as a pitcher could be. And then I need to sign out, I'm sick. And it's really sad that the parents aren't allowing them to have such discipline and tell them no. And because honestly, one of the stats that I was reading is that by the time that they are seniors in high school or freshmen in college, they actually... is one of the number one rates of suicide at this point for that age group, because they've never heard the word no. So when they don't get into the college that they wanted to go to, they can't take that rejection. Or by the time that they get into, as a freshman in college, that they don't get their teacher to make an A for them or a B or just to pass them, because their parents aren't able to do that as they sometimes can in high school, it seems. And so, having said that, is the word no sometimes happens to be the hardest thing to say, but it speaks more love than a simple yes. And I know I'm preaching to most of the choir here, because y'all are, you know, parents far beyond me, but just from what I see in my life experiences of growing up with a family that didn't really say no a lot, It affects everybody. And I hope that we here do what God wants us to do. Because obviously he's compassionate, he's loving, and he's a balanced father, but he's also holy. And when we get to the holy part, you know, I think that sometimes, yes, it is the hard calls to make, but to give them sound advice and to love them. But just like God being holy, we should be holy as he is. And it talks about in Joshua 24, the later part of verse 15, it says, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He teaches us that we need to be holy like God, not serve idols, and be fully committed to God exclusively. I don't know how everybody lives their own life, but do we take time to make sure that God is exclusive, that He's obviously a part of our life, that regardless if we sit down for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that we pray that He blesses the food before we go out on a trip, that we pray for safe travels and return. Do we incorporate God in our lives as if He's truly our number one? Not number one on a checklist, but number one throughout everything we do. And I think that's hard for even me to say that I do that. To say that God is number one in anything and everything I do. I mean, that's a lot of what I do. But I do try to incorporate it. And so hopefully you do the same. Hopefully you are much better than me and that you do everything perfectly and that you can put God first in everything that you ever come up against. But don't be like the younger me that walks up to every person and says, "Hey, you're my dad." Realize whose you are. Because God is the Father of us. And He adopted us. He wants us to be His. If you think about all the different things that He's gone through, He created us, okay? Then as sin separated us from Him, He then gave Christ, His Son, as Chris pointed out about Christ right before the Lord's Supper, all these different things that He went through just to reunite us, that we may have that possibility again to go live with Him. And so there's no question that if He is your Father, just like in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image." He is the spitting image of us. He's the Creator, the Maker, and He is our Father. But do we know Him enough that we know what He would say or what He would do? And when the people of this world see us, do they also see our Father? Because if we're called to be Christians and to be Christ-like, then we should be also able to be seen as God the Father. That He is so evident in our life that people kind of say, "Well, obviously you don't do anything for yourself. You only do things that God would want." That would be an amazing compliment if I've ever heard one. You know, I know sometimes I've thought about, you know, if I was to die, what people would say at my funeral. In fact, I told Meredith if I ever died, you know, too soon, that I want to make sure that everybody writes down all the different jokes and stuff that I've ever said and just have a good time and laugh at my funeral. I really would love that. I'm sure some of you would cry. Probably Meredith would rejoice. But there would be several people that would, I don't know, hopefully have a good time. Like I said, one of the best compliments could ever be given is that, you know, He was holy like God was, or that He lived His life in such a way that it was evident that He was a Christian. You know, some of those things that, you know, I think about if I was to die and then what would be said at the funeral, those are some of the things that I think that would make a big difference for me. I hope that I influence people's lives in such a way that they see God in me. Not that I'm anything special by any means, like jars of clay, you know, and the more broken I am, the more it easier for God to see, I mean, for people to see God in me because of my brokenness, because I'm nobody special. To be honest, I get nervous every time I go out to speak. I don't always think that I'm the greatest singer. I mean, there's a lot of flaws that I have, and I still kind of push through because it's not me that matters. It's God. And so hopefully when we each think of our own lives, we put God in such a way in our own life that it's evident that He's the reason why we get up each morning, that we live the way that we do, and that we aspire to be and bring others towards Him. So once again, you know, thinking about, you know, being the spitting image of your Father, I think that's a wonderful idea. I think that's a wonderful goal to aspire to be like, because He is the Father that is giving us everything that we need for life. And He just asked for a small portion of us back. Just like Brandon was saying earlier about, you know, that He gives us all these blessings and that we just give a little bit of it back. He just wants our love. He wants us to choose Him. He gives us the free will. And so we are able to choose Him because of that. Or we don't have to. But if we choose Him, He'll choose us back. And when He calls us to the adopted sons and daughters, He will take us to a place that's called heaven, that is more wonderful than anything that you could imagine. And so, as I close, I just wanted to remind you that as we think about our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, that we can aspire to be like Him just by learning a verse a day, just by just doing something good for someone else, being that servant, having that attitude. And so, Chris, if you'll come up and sing, we'll end there.